So that scripture that we just heard, it's a pretty familiar one, right? You may have heard it before, right? It's the official scripture of the NFL, right? John 3:16. But I was wondering as I was thinking about this, what was the last time that you actually saw that at a football game? It feels like I haven't seen it in a while. Has it been a while, or is it just me? It used to be, you know, you'd see it constantly. It would be, and you would be forgiven for thinking if you didn't know that John 3:16 meant like the kick is good, because that's whenever you'd see it, right? Or touchdown. Okay, so it's still out there. It's still out there. It's just switching to different sports, or it's expanding. But it's, of course, it is a very familiar verse, and a fitting verse, I think, for today, for it being Rose Sunday, Pink Sunday, but maybe not for reasons that you would think. Because when you look at the other readings for today, it's actually kind of a strange day, right? I mean, there are some weird readings today. That story from Numbers about the snake, the poisonous snakes. I mean, that's always been one. I'm not ever in a big hurry to preach or explain that story, you know. So you know, God didn't like the people complaining, so he sent them poisonous snakes, and then he gave them a snake that healed them from the snake. Yeah, well, it's an odd story. But what's even more odd about it is when you think about it, that's the very example that Jesus uses in our favorite scripture, John 3:16, or right before it, to provide an image of what he's trying to explain about what he's called to do. So he, out of all the things that Jesus could use to give an image of himself, he uses this snake from Numbers. That's a kind of a weird thing, right? So what does that mean? Why would Jesus choose such a thing? And I think the reason is that the snake, both the snake on the pole and the cross, are similar kind of symbols, in the sense that they're kind of a paradox. They're symbols that intend one thing, but have a completely different meaning. They're signs of death that become signs of life, right? Either a poisonous snake or a cross. If you think about it, right, a cross is what? It's a literally an instrument of execution used by an imperial regime to silence political agitators, right? And so it seems kind of odd in a way that we would wear it around our necks as a symbol of love, as a symbol of God's love for us. But it fits for today, because this is a paradoxical day, right? We're wearing pink and celebrating in the midst of Lent, in the midst of a dark season. And we know that the road of Lent leads to the cross. But we also know that road that leads to the cross ultimately leads to resurrection. So within that death, there is still life. And we know that someday we'll get to say that A word again. Not too long now. So this strange sign of either the snake or the cross shows how God loves the world. You know, it's interesting. I always thought in that verse, God so loved the world, that was a way of saying, talking about how much God loved the world. Like, God so loved the world, right? Is that how most of you understand that as well? But if you look at the Greek word that's translated as so, it actually has a different meaning. It's a different version of so. It's the so as if you were to say, I did it just so. Like, it means the manner of. It means how God loved the world. So you could translate it to say, this is how God loved the world. And so it doesn't actually mean God loved the world so much, but it means the way that God loved the world is this, by sending his only son. And that's interesting, because it's a way that goes beyond just simply rescuing us from our sins. it goes beyond just simply dividing the world into good and bad, and taking the good and getting rid of the bad. And I think that's why Jesus goes on to talk about this idea of judgment and condemnation, because he's flipping the script on that as well. You see, when Jesus says this is the judgment, there's another one of these interesting Greek words, right? The word there for judgment is the same word that we get our word crisis. So what's a crisis? A crisis is a time where we have to make a decision, right? It's a decision point. You hit a crisis point in your life, you have to make a decision. And so really what Jesus is saying not is that God is up in heaven judging us, condemning us, but that God is giving us, provoking us to a decision point. That the love that is demonstrated by Jesus, that will be demonstrated on the cross, it forces us to make a decision. What are we going to do with that? What are we going to do with that love? In ethical thinking, we talk about crises all the time. There's crises of conscience. There's a crises of knowledge. With Jesus, the cross is a crisis of action. What are we going to do? Throughout John's gospel, the word believe is used, right? Whosoever believes in him. And that word does not refer to anything having to do with what you believe in your head. It doesn't have anything to do with what you say, oh yeah, I agree with that statement. It's the same word in the Bible that's the word for faith. And faith, in the biblical sense, is not a thing. It's not a noun. It's a verb. It's an action. Faith, belief, is something that we do. And so this crisis that Jesus is bringing us to, this crisis point, is asking this question. Do we choose to live? Do we choose to act according to that sacrificial, self-giving love or not? In that passage from Ephesians, it says, excuse me, we were created for this to be our way of life. The whole reason that we even exist is to love others in that way. And if we don't live in love, then we're not being who we were made to be. We're not living up to who we were created to be. I think that's what Jesus is getting at when he talks about judgment, about condemnation. This isn't about, you know, where you go when you die. If we don't live in love as we were created to be, we're never going to, in this life, feel truly fulfilled. We're never going to be at peace with ourselves if we don't live according to love. And Jesus isn't here to shame us, right? This isn't said to make us go, oh, what are we doing wrong? It's more of an invitation. It's an invitation to join with him in that work. All we have to do is say yes. Pretty simple. We're being asked. I believe every one of us is being asked. Every day of our lives, moment to moment, we're continually being asked to join with Jesus in that way of love. And we simply just need to say yes to those moments as they come. And sometimes we won't get it right, but we can continue to have that invitation. And a simple yes can change the course of our entire lives. Think about things that you've said yes to that have shifted the direction of your life. I know there's been quite a few for me, right? Think about the yes that Mary said when the angel came to her. Mary's yes enabled Jesus to come into the world, changed the course of history. And when we say yes, then we are able to be Jesus' representatives in the world. And then when we go out into the world, we give the world the same choice, right? People are able to respond to that love, but only only if our message is backed up by our actions. Right? We can't blame the world for rejecting Christianity, the message of Christianity, if we are not backing it up with love in our actions. And we can say we're not like that. We're not like those people. We're not like those people, right? But our responsibility is to change that narrative. Change that narrative of what it means to be identified with Jesus. That's what that song that we sang is all about. They'll know we are Christians by our love. In our collect this morning, we prayed, "Evermore give us this bread, that he lives in us and we in him." That idea of Christ being in us, within us, that is what Jesus is talking about when he says eternal life. Right? He's not talking about going to heaven. The term eternal life in John's gospel is the same as the term the kingdom of God in the other gospels. And in Paul's letters, in Christ. It's all the same thing. It means to be equipped for this life, to live in love in this life. We can live that life now. We are enabled to live that life by living for others and not for ourselves. We can bring that light of Christ to dark places in the world. It doesn't have to be anything extraordinary. We don't have to go out into the streets. We can if you want to, but you don't have to. It can be in the form of unconditional love for anybody that you encounter, your friends, your family, anybody around you that is in pain or doubt or sorrow. Can we give of ourselves to show love to them? Christ raises us up, excuse me, so that we can invite others to be raised up. Through that healing, we're able to heal other people. There's a great phrase that you probably heard me say it before. Hurt people hurt people, but healed people heal people. So today, as we take this bread, Christ in us, let's remember that that's not just for ourselves, and it's not just for us to check a box and be good with the man upstairs, but it's to remember that that invitation is for us to take with us wherever we go, to bring that love with us. And they'll know that we are Christians by our love. Amen.